In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not grasp it. A man came, one sent from God, and his name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. This was the true light, that coming into the world enlightens every person. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not accept him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glories of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and called out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who is coming after me has proved to be my superior, because he existed before me.' For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. God, the only Son, who is in the arms of the Father, he has explained him." And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Years ago, I went on a mission trip to Minersville, Pennsylvania. Okay, we were going up there to help a friend, and one of the days we had some time, and he really wanted us to go see an old coal mine. Yeah, he was proud of it, proud of their heritage. And so we went on a tour, and they took us in the coal mine, and we went way down, and we walked through some things, and they took us way down in an elevator. I don't remember how many hundreds of feet we were below the surface, but it was a long way. And the guide, the tour guide, wanted us to get the real experience of what it might have been like on some days to work in the mine. And after a quick warning, he turned off all the lights. Instant darkness. It felt like all the air got sucked out of your lungs. The walls certainly were closing in. If there were walls, I mean, how would you know if the walls were even still there? Or maybe you were just teetering right there on some chasm about to fall to your death. How would you know you couldn't see anything anymore? No amount of letting your eyes would ever penetrate that darkness. Maybe if you knew the tunnels well, you could have fumbled your way along, following the old ropes and cables. Otherwise, you would fumble along, risking a fall or becoming more lost, or just sit and wait in the hopes that someone with light would come and rescue you. Have you ever been in that kind of darkness? With no light at all? After an eternity, actually about 30 seconds, the tour guide turned those lights back on. And there's instant relief, right? You regain your orientation. You see that, hey, the walls weren't actually closing in. They're still in the same place they were. There isn't a hidden ledge that might lead to my demise. There's only a small path that other people have followed over the years. And over in the corner, there's the elevator to get out of here. And that's what I remember thinking about on that day. But in this gospel, John gloriously declares that the light of the world has come. That there is something better than the light by which we walk today. That there was real light, and that light was Jesus. Where there was once darkness, condemnation, hopelessness, despair, and fear, there would be light, redemption, hope, joy, and peace. In Vacation Bible School, in Illumination Station, we learned that Jesus wasn't just a man. Kids, you guys remember who Jesus was? Anybody remember from vacation? What was it? He is the light of the world, right? We also learned some other things. He wasn't just a man. He was the promised Messiah. That is, he was the Savior that had been promised that he was going to come for years. They've been waiting for centuries and centuries for somebody to come and to rescue God's people, to bring light to those who were still living in the darkness. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." And by the Word, it is referring to Jesus there. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So that means that Jesus was there in the beginning, even before the universe was made. He was with God. He was God. It says that all things that exist were made by and for Jesus. In Jesus was true life. It says that He was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness is powerless to put it out. At last, the promised Savior had come to a people living in darkness. Now, we talked a little bit about John the Baptist this morning, and I have read some this morning from John the Baptist in Sunday school. We read some of his quotes this morning, and then I've read from 1 John when I wasn't supposed to, and I read from the Gospel of John when I wasn't supposed to. There's a whole lot of Johns, right? So we have John that's writing the Gospel, who's saying, hey, Jesus is God. He is the light of the world, and there is true life in Him. Then you had John the Baptist, who came before Jesus, his cousin that came before him, proclaiming and testifying that Jesus would be the light, so that all would believe through him, calling people to repentance and to prepare their hearts for the Messiah. He was preparing them that Jesus the Messiah was coming. John the Baptist wasn't the light that we needed. The Scripture told us that he wasn't the light, but he was pointing to the light. And when John baptized Jesus, there was a voice from heaven. Do you guys remember what that voice from heaven said? "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." You see, Jesus wasn't just any man. He was the promised Messiah, and He was also the perfect Son of God. He was God in the flesh. Down in verse 14, it said, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." In Jesus, you see all the glory of God the Father. We understand who God is based on Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the eternal God taking on flesh that we might know Him and that He might rescue us. In John chapter 1, verse 9 through 13, says this: "This was the true light that coming into the world enlightens every person. He was in the world, and the world came into being through Him, and yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not accept Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." You see, Jesus came, and His light shines on every person. But it's said there that He comes and enlightens every person. He was in the world, and all the world was made through Him. He is the agent of creation. All things, again, were made through Jesus and for Jesus. He receives the kingdom right now. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, watching over and ruling over all things. And so all the creation belongs to Him, and yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own. He came to those who had the Old Testament promises. All the promises of the Messiah, all the promises that a Savior was going to come, that a light would shine into the darkness, even that the Gentiles would be brought in. And yet, when He came to His own, it said they did not receive Him. They did not believe in Jesus. They did not believe that He was the Messiah. Instead, they often came and tried to do harm to Him instead. But I wonder, why is this? Why would they not come? Why would they not believe that He was the perfect Son of God? Why would they see the light from afar but not go to it? I'm telling you, when I stood in that cave and I stood in that mine and it was completely dark, if somebody had just lit a match, I'd have gone right to it. I'd have wanted to go where I thought there was safety, some sort of guidance, some sort of light to put out this darkness. But the people that saw Jesus, many of them would not go to the light. They would not accept Him for who He is. Well, John chapter 3, verse 19 and 21, give us a clue about why that is. In John 3, it just said, Jesus did not come to the world to condemn the world, but to save it. And then He says this in verse 19, John 3:19. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light. Why? For their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, so that his deeds will not be exposed. But the one who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds will be revealed as having been performed in God. You see, people, all of the children, all of us adults, all of our elders, everybody going back to Adam and Eve have a problem, and that problem is sin. How many of you have ever broken one of God's laws? I have. How many of you like to admit it when you get in trouble? Let me ask you this. Did anybody think back to when you were kids? And we've got kids all around here this morning, and so I'm asking them too to think about this. Have you ever done something that was wrong? You broke a rule and you knew you weren't supposed to, and then catastrophe happens. Something's broken. Somebody got hurt. Don't know what it is. And you thought, what I need is help from my parents to fix this. But what you said to yourself is, I am not going to go ask my parents for help because I'm going to get in trouble. I don't want what I did to be exposed. That's how sin works in us, isn't it? We sin and we break God's laws, and we don't want to admit that we sinned. We don't want to have to say, hey, I need help. I need a Savior. I want to say, I was good enough to go to heaven. I was good enough for God to love me. I deserve it. I can fix this problem if I just work hard enough. Well, you guys know from back when you were a kid, you probably just made the situation worse. Those that saw the lights and didn't want their deeds to be exposed, they chose to stay in the darkness. What kind of help are they going to find in the darkness? They could see the light, and all they had to do was go and ask Jesus for help, and they would have received it. Instead, the Scripture says they were condemned. They were under judgment. Why? Because they refused to believe in the perfect Son of God. They refused to believe in God's Savior, the one who came to rescue His people. Many saw the light, but they did not want to come. They didn't want God or others to see their shame, and so they stayed in the darkness. But if we want to be saved, we have to leave the darkness and come to the light. And that is to Jesus. We have to admit that we're sinners. You know, the Scripture says that we must confess our sin. The word confess, if you look at the Greek word and all the things that go behind that, means to say the same thing. So that to confess your sin is to be in agreement with God, that God says, this is sin. And I am saying, God, I agree with you. This is sin. What I've done is sinned against you. I've done what was not right, what was morally wrong. I am culpable. I am guilty. That is what it means to confess our sins. To go before Him, to admit that we're sinners, we must ask for forgiveness. That Christ, the Son of God, said that He came exactly for that purpose, to save us, not to condemn us, but to offer us rescue. Back in John chapter 1, in verses 12 and 13, it says this, "But as many received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." He said as many as would receive Him, they would become His children. They would be saved out of their sin. They would be, instead of alienated and outside in the darkness, brought into God's family, brought into God's household with all the blessings that implies, especially that of salvation, that we would be there with Jesus Christ, who calls us friend and is better than a brother. That is the Jesus that He is calling us to. But He says that it is for those that receive Him that become His children. So this morning, I want you to think about this as we get ready to close this down. I want you to believe, you must believe in Jesus Christ, that He is the Messiah, that He is the perfect Son of God. You must believe that Jesus died on that cross. You must believe that Jesus was raised on the third day. And then you must confess, hey, I am a sinner in need of salvation. So we know that we have to believe in Him. We know that we must confess our sins. How many of you have ever stopped and just told God, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I've messed up. You have to do that. You have to go to Him and say, God, I have been living in unbelief. I have been an unbeliever. I have fought You every step of the way. I have done what was evil in Your sight. You have to confess your sin, acknowledge that you need saving, And then you must ask for forgiveness. The scripture says that everybody that calls on the name of Jesus, everyone that asks, they will never be put to shame. Why? Because on the last day, you will not be disappointed. Jesus is going to keep His promises of forgiveness and salvation. So we believe on His name, we confess our sin, we ask for forgiveness, and then we become a child of God. When we ask Him to do that, the scripture is clear that He performs, through the Holy Spirit, a work of regeneration. That is, He causes us to be born again. He changes out your heart of stone, and He gives you a heart of flesh. You were dead, He makes you alive. He begins to help you fight the old sin nature that is in you. But you become a child of God. You receive the Holy Spirit. Right? It says, the scripture tells us that the Spirit comes to dwell inside of us, that we are sealed in Him, marked as His, that the Spirit of God is now going to be helping us for the rest of our life live according to the scriptures. So we believe, we confess, we ask for forgiveness, we become a child of God, we are born again of the Spirit, we are to be baptized. The scripture is clear. Repent and be baptized. He tells us over, and the scripture tells us in many places that we are to be baptized in His name. Even the Great Commission tells us, hey, I want you to go and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. We celebrate baptism, and you guys are like, well, of course we do. We're Baptists. I don't want to do it because we're Baptists. I want to do it because it's what the scripture says. And we've taught on this over the years and gone through it. Does baptism save you? No. Baptism isn't what saves you. But there is, I believe, still a miraculous act of God's grace and mercy on us as we go through baptism. And there's a symbol in it, right? There's a picture being told. That when you think about, well, we can't see the baptismal pool today. But when you think about baptism, when somebody goes under that water, it's saying, hey, I'm a believer. Christ died for me. I share in His death. I'm united to Christ. When we come out of that water and we say, raised to walk in newness of life, or what are we saying? Hey, I was dead with Him, but I have been raised up. Christ was raised from the dead. I'm going to share in His resurrection. I am a new creature. My life belongs to Him. And so we believe in Christ. We confess our sin. We ask for forgiveness. We become a child of God. We receive the Spirit. We are baptized in obedience to Him. And we begin to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And what are we celebrating in the Lord's Supper? Man, look at my union with Christ. That my Jesus was the propitiation, the sacrifice for me. That He died in my place. And I'm celebrating His life every time we do it. That while I don't believe in transubstantiation, some of those things that people have believed throughout the years, that the bread actually turns into the body of Christ, I believe that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, Christ is here. That there's a special blessing in following through that obedience. And we celebrate throughout our lives the life and death of Jesus Christ. And we celebrate our union with Him, that we get all the spiritual blessings, all the heavenly blessings in Christ, as it tells us in Ephesians 1. But then you say, well, what's next? Well, we live for Jesus. Sanctification, right? We talked about this the last couple of weeks. God doesn't just say, hey, you're a new creature, you're saved, and that's it. He brought us into your family. How many of you got your kids, and you get them out, and some of you think, well, they turn 18, and that's it. I just don't want anything to do with them anymore. I hope that's not the case. Or maybe your kids are smaller, and you haven't gone through that yet, and you got, well, you know, I've been training my kids, and now that my kid knows how to read, I don't have to help them anymore. We wouldn't do that, would we? God doesn't do that. When we get saved, that relationship begins. You became a child of God. That's not something to take lightly. God is going to continue to work in us for the remainder of our life. The Spirit is going to work in us so that we can be more like Christ. Our whole purpose of being on this earth is to bring glory to our God. To bring glory to our God and to exalt Him and to make His name known. That is exactly why we are still here on this earth. Have you ever thought, God, how come when we get saved, you don't just snap your fingers and we go straight to heaven? Wouldn't that be nice sometimes? He's got a purpose and a plan for us right here. This life is not meaningless. Philosophers, theologians, teachers across the ages have wrestled with what is the purpose of this life, and some have come to the conclusion there is no purpose. This is all a waste of time. Why are we doing any of this? And there are parts where you read Ecclesiastes and you think, hey, maybe they're on to something. Except the real purpose is there's a God behind it. And we have a purpose. And that our end, our reason for existing is to bring glory to our God. And so as we think about Jesus being the light of the world, guys, the light of the world is still shining on us and shining through us. And so we don't just get saved and turn it off. We get saved and we have a life to live. There are still people in this world today living in the darkness. You don't have to go to deepest, darkest Africa. You don't have to go to Timbuktu. You don't have to go somewhere else to find those people that are waiting on the light. You just have to go across the street to Nottingham. You just have to go this way across the park. You just have to go over there to Forest Heights and Hampton Park and around Athens and look around. There are people who do not know the gospel who need to hear it. And there are some of us who, guys, we are hiding that light. We have the light of the gospel. We have come to Him. Our deeds have been exposed. We have been saved. We have repented. We have turned. We have been baptized. But now we're wondering, what are we going to do with our life? And I'm telling you joyously this morning, gloriously, that we are called to live as children of the light, to do the things that are glorifying to God, that are good and righteous, that we are to have that joy in serving Him even as we go through this life. And I want you to hear that this morning. There is meaning and purpose. I don't care what's going on with wars around the world. I don't care what's going on with politics. I don't care how depressing some of those things seem sometimes. You were put right here where you are this morning with a purpose. You gather together. God has assembled you together to worship and glorify His name this morning. You have said, this is a day of rest and worship. I belong to my God, and you do belong to your God. And so come what may, we are here for His glory. And we do not need to forget that task with all the distractions of this world. But as we close this morning, I want to just say a special message to all of our children today. And I want to say it to parents, but really it all comes to all of us. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the perfect Son of God. He is the Savior come to rescue us. He is the light of the world. You don't have to go through this world alone. You don't have to go through it in darkness. Jesus will rescue you. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I know who you are. I know that you're God. I know I'm a sinner. I know I need help. Forgive me. Save me. And He will. And so I want to leave you with that today. And if you have not been saved, you've never prayed like that, please come today. Doesn't have to be in the service. I'll be right here. We're going to have a meal downstairs. There's food downstairs. I'll be glad to sit right here and talk to you about how to be saved. If you have never been baptized as a believer, know that it's important. It might not save you, but God has called you to it in obedience to His promises, in obedience to His commands. And so I ask that if you are an adult here this morning, you've never been baptized, We want to see that happen. We want to see that take place. Come and begin to walk as a child of light. So I encourage you in those things. Come and see me. I'd love to talk with you through those things. Love to open the scriptures. Guys, that it would be my privilege and honor. For the rest of us, those who have gone through this, we have a great task, a great mission. To bring glory to God and to make Christ's name known right here in Athens, Georgia. We have lives to live, and I'm so thankful for it. And I hope that those are words that motivate you and thoughts that motivate you when you wake up in the morning. When the world tells you there is no purpose, there is. He made you the way He did. He has gifted you the way He's gifted you. And He's going to work through you to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Let's praise Him right now. Father, I thank You this morning for John's gospel. I thank You that Jesus is God. I thank You that You sent Jesus to take on flesh so that we could even hope to understand You. I thank you that Jesus died on that cross in our place. I thank you that everyone who calls on him will be saved. Lord, I pray that there'd be nobody in this room who would leave today still living in the darkness. Lord, nobody too afraid to admit their sin to Jesus, that they would stay and instead be lost. No one here who says, I've got to clean up my life before I can come to Jesus. No, Father, I pray that they would come to the neighborhood in this place. Father, we pray all this in Jesus' name.